Cubs like their own money, their own dollars and cents. But to spend it or save it, what makes the most sense? Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and it's been a while. It's really been a long while since I've done this show. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, gosh and golly, Phil Gonzalez. Golly, gosh, and goodness, you've been doing this show each and every week. We've listened to it. It's entered through our ears like those worms in Wrath of Khan and that scene you totally weren't ready for as a little kid. Of course you've done this show. And you're right, actually. I have been producing this show each week, but I feel like I haven't really been present in the way you, the listener, deserve. I feel like my arguments haven't been purely really thought out. I felt distracted. I felt like I haven't given you the attention you deserve and that I've squandered a bit of the goodwill I've earned from you over these past 4 years. So, I'm back in a metaphorical sense. This episode marks a return to form in the old Bear Show, and to mark this return to form, we're going to get deep into the weeds before we hit this week's book by addressing a point one of our dedicated listeners brought to my attention after the episode in which I brought up Mama's and Papa's names. Now, Bear Country lore is deep and twisted and continually turning back in on itself. It's also malleable and liquid and rearranges itself to fit into different situations. I certainly can't keep track of all of it in my head, and it's dangerous to dip your toe into it if you're not prepared to get in over your head. And when I recorded my brief episode on Mama and Papa's names, I didn't really have time to do any serious research or looking back, so I just went in off the cuff with more of an emotional reaction than anything else. And as you know, when you let your emotions get the better of you, the consequences can be consequential, particularly in the case of the continuity of a pile of children's books only about 15 people really ever think about. Well, fortunately, one of those 15 people listens to this show and was quick to point out a couple of major continuity points I'd completely missed. I say missed, but if I'm being honest and open with you, and I am, I'll admit to not even having done a smidge of serious investigation on this matter, so mea culpa, and also thank you to Tom, my listener, for having my back and saving my bacon and helping me to avoid any future embarrassment on this, a very important issue. Tom wrote to me, and I'm just going to quote Tom here. So, Tom, enjoy your time in the spotlight, because these are your words. Tom wrote to me, "My son's 4 years old, so I'm sure you know that's the age where kids want to hear the same book over and over. Back in December, one of his books of choice was Old Fashioned Christmas by Mike and Jan. In it, Gramps and Gran refer to Papa as Junior, which I thought was interesting, since that's not really a nickname you give to someone unless they are a junior. Anyway, about the 100th time I read the book, I was struck by the most mind-blowing revelation I've ever had about Bear Country. I'm completely with you about the separate continuities between different books, but naming seems to be consistent throughout. Anyway, in Save That Backscratcher, we learn Gramps' name is Ernest. Papa is Ernest Bear." Now, first, I want to commiserate with Tom on the involuntary taking in of information that happens when you read the same books to your children over and over again. That's how I ended up doing this show. It happens. Second, I'm at a disadvantage as I've not gotten to Old Fashioned Christmas yet, so the revelation of Papa as Junior is something I'd not been aware of. And finally, I totally remember the Ernest reveal and am quite humbled. I have actually looked back at Save That Backscratcher repeatedly over the last few weeks, as it is one of my primary sources for information on the Great Bear War, and yet, Tom is absolutely right. Unless Junior is an affectionate pet name as opposed to an actual title, which we have no reason to believe it is, Papa Bear's name is Ernest, and I guess Mama is Melissa. Ernest and Melissa. Ernest and Melissa. hate it. I do. I hate it. Mama and Papa, they are, and Mama and Papa, they shall stay. Ernest and Melissa sounds like a long-running British newspaper comic strip where the characters are a kind but befuddled older couple who approach life in a gentle if batty manner, only to be taken completely off guard when nuclear war wipes out the nearby village. Or something. In any case, Tom, thank you for pointing this out. In the future, I promise to do my due diligence, but I will always miss things. All I have is my little brain to store this info, and now I shall never forget Ernest and Melissa. Ugh. Well, and now on to this week's book. In January of 2016, I wasn't yet 40. Good grief, I can't believe I was ever so young. Was I ever so young? Ugh. I don't think I've had a single morning I haven't spent working the creaks and cracks out of my bones in the last 2 years. January of 2016, goodness gracious. Well, in January of 2016, I covered the book, The Berenstain Bears and the Trouble with Money, from 1983. It was a strange yet interesting approach to the concept of explaining the value of the almighty dollar to children. The Cubs were constantly begging cash off their increasingly enraged papa, who finally forced them to get out there and work for a living, and so they did. Brother and sister created quite a racket, selling the secrets of bear country to the highest bidders. Papa became concerned the Cubs were getting a bit too engrossed in earning money, until they revealed that their whole plan was to give Papa their hard-earned cash so he would stop worrying so much about money himself. Cowed and humbled, Papa and Mama took the kids to the bank to start a savings account, and the end of the story has a nice bit of frivolous spending on their part. It's a nicely illustrated book, with some high points and a succinct little ending. Well, nearly 20 years later, in 2001, the Berenstains once again tackled the concept of money and cubs and dollar-dollar bills, y'all, with dollars and cents. And that's sense, as in common sense, but spelled with dollar signs instead of S's. And also it's made to rhyme with sense with a C in the opening poem, and that doesn't translate well, so already we're on shaky ground. Plus, the opening poem, cubs like their own money, their own dollars and cents. So cubs like their own money. Cubs like to have their own money. Like, cubs like to have their own money. I get what they're saying. Cubs like their own money. But it doesn't work out well. Cubs like their own money, their own dollars and cents. But to spend it or save it, it should be which makes the more sense would be the proper way of saying it. They say what makes the most sense. But it should be like, cubs like to have their own money. They like their own dollars and cents. But to spend all that money or save it, which one of those makes the most sense? You see how that works? Like, a little extra thought. I understand it's wordy and like adds a couple of extra syllables, but it's a little more lyrical. It's a little more bouncy. And plus, you cannot rhyme sense with sense. I mean, you can, and they are officially different words. I get it, but oh boy, sense with sense. That's a stretch, guys. That's a big stretch. And that's not the end of this book being kind of weird and strangely lax and not up to snuff. In any case, the book itself is this weird retelling of the original. So it's a rethinking of The Trouble with Money, right down to it reuses like a lot of the same plot points and even artwork from the first book. And when I say we'll get to that. Okay, and a honey bear appears in the inner splash page with the rest of the family, but she's never actually seen in the interior pages. Even the scenes where Mama is taking the kids to the grocery store, to the park, there's like no honey. You never see honey in this book. So I have to assume that it was finished before honey was added to the cast, but published afterwards, and like they worked her into the opening image. I mean, but it's honey, so like, it's not, you're not like sitting there going, oh, where's honey? Like, I didn't notice this until now. And I've read this book before. And I did not even notice that it was supposed to have honey and then she was gone. Like, her absence is hardly felt at all. So plot-wise, the book begins similarly to the first book. Brother and sister love money. They don't understand how it works or what the value of it really is. We get a terrifying reminder of, I don't know if you remember this, the Money Golem, a bear made literally of money from the first book, where brother and sister hear Papa ranting and raving, well, we're not made of money, and they imagine Papa made of money. Although it doesn't really fit well in this book, because it's close to the beginning, and they're just kind of throwing it out there, and it's clearly a tracing of the original drawing. Like, the folds and the bills are in the same place. All the coins are in the same place. The only difference is they closed the mouth of the new image, which is probably for the best. The horrifying Money Golem should not be standing jaws agape. Also, it's just practical because the original Money Golem was supposed to be a real representation of an increasingly angry Papa, so it was like yelling. And now the Money Golem is just standing there. Hate the Money Golem. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. We also get a redraw of the money tree. Like, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, so they imagine like a money tree. And brother and sister huddling under an umbrella as money rains down on them, which, that's such a blatant reuse of the image from the first book that it includes the piggy bank character from that story, even though the piggy bank character, their little piggy bank that like changes facial expressions along with them in the original book, that piggy bank isn't in this story, but it's still in the original drawing, so they just traced it like back in. And this is our first indication, like these reuse images, this is our first indication this book may not have been quite the passion project of past stories. And it may have been a bit of a second thought. I can't be sure, but it seems a bit less focused than the other books. The reuse of art is blatant, and the ending is, ugh, the ending. Also weird is that the Cubs use their money, they treat their money like it's a toy. Like, they use the coins to play games, like spin the coins and stuff. And that's weird. We also see later that, like, brother and sister have never heard of the concept of allowance, ever. They seem just a lot younger in this book. Like, their behavior seems younger, but they aren't drawn to look younger. So there's this strange, like, weird disconnect, like this feeling of unreality as you're like, well, they're acting like toddlers almost, but like, that's brother and sister bear. We know them. They're not toddlers, but they don't even know what money is at certain points in this story. It's very strange. Well, it being a money book, Papa eventually explodes in furious anger at his children for daring to ask him for money. Even though we just saw a page, like just before this one, we see a page where the Cubs put together a sale of their own toys to earn cash. Papa just like explodes when they ask him for money. He's like, you don't understand money at all. And I'm like, we see them earning money. But so is this book supposed to take place like immediately after the first book? It's really hard to say. Like, I don't know where this is supposed to fall in the continuity of Bear Country. In any case, Mama and Papa, after Papa calms down a bit, decide the best way to teach brother and sister the value of their money is to give them a set allowance. And so the kids just like blow through their cash as soon as they get it. And they end up bored. They end up frustrated with all their impulse purchases as soon as the endorphin rush of spending has ended. So the Cubs demand a bigger allowance because they keep running out of money. But Mama gets this idea after she sees how stressed and frustrated Papa gets while balancing the checkbook. She decides to make money a terrible burden by teaching the children how to keep and balance a checkbook. The way it works is this. Mama will hold on to the Cubs' cash, the brothers and sisters' cash. They will write her a check whenever they want to spend any money. They'll keep tabs on the balance of their checkbook, and in that way, they'll manage their own money. And so Mama and Papa actually increase the Cubs' allowances in order to make the process more confusing. Brother and sister, they take to the idea immediately. They decide to not blow all their money at once, and then the book is over. Like, that's it. Like, the whole, like, I'm going to introduce the concept of a checking account for the Cubs is thrown in at the last few pages of the book is where this all comes in. The Cubs are like, that's a great idea. And then it's like, the end. Like, I guess your idea worked, Mama. Like, we don't get to see any, like, well, I think you can gather from the way I'm talking about it that the Berenstain Bears Dollars and Cents is not much of a book. The best part of it is the beginning, which just recounts the events of the previous book in this like jankily, hastily put together, like bit by bit format. And the rest of the book isn't really even much of a story. So I've talked in the past about how some of the first time books seem to function more as manuals for parents than as entertainment for children. And Dollars and Cents fits very neatly into that category. Halfway through the book, the authors It's like the authors turn to the readers and they're like, well, what would you do in this situation? Well, here's what Mama did. And Mama's solution to the problem of brother and sister not understanding the value of money is, while interesting, it's far more complicated than it needs to be. By acting as the family's de facto banker, Mama has actually taken on more responsibility of keeping track of the Cubs' earnings than she has before. I guess the process of writing an actual check is in there to like get the Cubs ready for future adult spending, and maybe the process of writing a check and handing it over to Mama allows the Cubs to take an additional moment to decide whether or not they really want to spend their money in that moment, but I think I just convinced myself it's a pretty good idea. I mean, it seems to work. It seems to work. I think maybe it works. I don't know. I don't know anything about teaching my kids how to manage their money. I don't know anything about it. So maybe Mama has a great idea. We don't get to spend a whole lot of time. So my biggest complaint with this book, with Dollars and Cents, is that it doesn't tell a finished story. Brother and sister decide their new system works. Mama says, now that's what I call money managing, as if that's a play on words, which it's not. And the book then just ends. It's done. And we don't learn anything about brother and sister's money troubles ever again. Like, we don't come back to it. We don't see how the new system works out. If there's any problems with the new system. Like, if that was introduced in the beginning of the book, like if they're like, brother and sister had a hard time managing their allowances. So Mama came up with this new idea and maybe it falls apart. Maybe it helps Papa take more responsibility for the family checking account. You know, like they've done that in the past where like the Cubs have to learn a lesson and then it's reflected in what the family is going through. Like maybe Papa's having trouble with his checking account and the Cubs are interested in learning about that. So Mama gives them checking accounts and that gives them a new appreciation of how hard it is to track money and how important it is to track money. Maybe they get to look, maybe they do what they say you're supposed to do, which is they share the family expenses with the kids. They're like, all right, well, look at our checkbook. We spend money on electricity and water and waste management, and we spend money on the house every month, and we have to spend money on groceries and on you kids' like interests. We give you allowance, and that comes out, and we earn this much money a month, and so we have to make sure we don't spend more money than we take in, and that also we save some if we need it. Like, there's ways you can show that very simply by showing the Cubs your own checkbook and showing the Cubs your own checking account. This isn't just something that mamas and papas do. It's something they need to do so that in the future, life's a little bit easier, hopefully, or so you don't run out of money. And then the Cubs are like, oh, we understand. And we can treat our own money that way. Like, we don't have to spend all of our money as soon as we get it. And look at that. I didn't spend all of my allowance. Each week, I put aside $1. And at the end of 2 weeks, I had $2. At the end of, you know, like a few months, then I had enough money to buy that big thing I wanted. And, or I just didn't spend any of my allowance. I went without, you know, Lizzie invited me to the movie, but I decided not to go this week because I want to save that $3, set it aside, and put it with next week's allowance when I can buy so and such a doll. And look, I actually have money left over. Like, there's ways you can do that. And then at the end of the story, I don't know, maybe the Bears, they're like, well, with the money we managed to save this year, we're all going on vacation. And the Cubs could be like, well, with the money we saved this year from our allowances, we're going to be able to buy fun souvenirs on vacation. And then the family could go off and do something fun like that, or maybe just a trip to the amusement park. I don't know. There's ways of telling this story that actually build the concept of making sense of your money rather than just redoing the original, which it just seems like a rush job or like a contractually obligated job. Like, there are books in this era that they actually seem to have a lot of feeling towards that have good humor and good character work and nice illustrations. And this just seems like, well, we need to do another money book, or we can do it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. It just seems a little off. So, because like in The Trouble with Money in 1983, you know, brother and sister, they learn the value of money. They learn the danger of overspending. They learn the satisfaction of hard work. They learn the joy of giving when they try to give their money to Papa, the promise of saving, and at the end of it, the simple pleasure of spending time with your family. It's not a hefty book thematically, but it doesn't have to be. It just embraces several concepts, and it just deploys them effectively. Dollars and Cents doesn't seem to understand what it wants to be. It's clumsily told. It's confusing a little bit, like it's weird and unexciting. It's just a strange book. It's just a very strange, like, forgettable book. Like, I forgot that it wasn't The Trouble with Money. Like, I always just assume it's The Trouble with Money. Plus, Papa's emotional outburst. So Papa has another one of his big Papa outbursts. It doesn't seem in character in these books. Like, in the earlier books, yeah. But in these later books, the more, like, as we're entering the Mike era, the Honey era, Papa's a lot more mild. The characters are more formalized, the less loosey-goosey, less, like, wacky cartoony. So Papa just comes across as like an unhinged maniac and less a cartoonish hothead. But I cannot overemphasize this. Money Golem. The Money Golem is still a presence in the Bear universe, and though his mouth be closed, his hunger remains unsated. So that's the Berenstain Bears, Dollars and Cents. It's available in hard copy or digitally, but I mean, unless you're a completist or you're interested in the early years of Honey Bear, who, again, doesn't actually appear in the book, I'd give it a miss. Pick up a copy of The Trouble with Money if you want a Berenstain Bears book, like an older book about money. That one's just, it's more engaging. The illustrations pop. The story is goofy and fun. And the characters are just more engaged in what's going on. Dollars and cents. I didn't mean for this to be a bummer. I didn't mean to come back from my weird mental hiatus with like a downer of a book. It does have the Money Golem, so, you know, you got that going for you. I mean, the Money Golem is also in the other book, so you don't need to get this. It's not a new picture of the Money Golem. It's just the Money Golem. Maybe I'll post a picture of it on the Facebook page or the Twitter account, just so you can see the two Money Golems next to each other. Yeah, it's weird. It's a great picture. I can see why they reuse. I'd love an action figure of the Money Golem. I think that'd be a cool thing to have on my desk at work. So think about it, Berenstains. Make me a Money Golem. I'd love to own one. So that's it for the Berenstain Bears and the Berenstain Bears possessive S, Dollars and Cents. Thank you for sticking with me through good eps and bad. Thank you to Tom for the names information. I do really appreciate it. Thank you to my Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Last week, you got some extra bonus content courtesy of my live show and courtesy of Bradley Mariska. So if you want to get new stuff every now and again, just like the stuff that like the general riffraff doesn't get, become a Patreon subscriber. $1 a month or more will get you that extra goodness. So sign on up. I could always use the extra goodness from you, my listeners. 4 years I've been doing this. 4 years. Every month I have to spend money on these bear books. So every dollar helps pay for bear books. It helped me put together some stuff I needed for the show. It'll help me in the future with future stuff, help me keep me in equipment, keep me in new batteries for my recorder. It keeps me in a lot of things, the all bear related, all Berenstain Bears related. So I don't spend this money frivolously because I mean, I'm like the Cubs. I keep track of it. So thank you so much. Patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. You can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. Find me on Twitter at bstainbearcast. You can write to me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com if you want to, but people usually write to me at Facebook or on Twitter. So, you know, that's, you know, if you want to write me an email, that'd be great. But otherwise, you know, you can drop me a line anywhere. I'm always listening. I'm usually responsive. So thank you so much. I'll be back next time with more books, more insights, more fun, a more engaged Phil. Don't you love engaged Phil who sits there and picks apart the books? It's great. Try to get some guests back on. I've just been, you know, I'm shy. I'm anxious about writing to people. I need to get back on to that. So that's it. That's my show. It's my little bear show. The little thing that's kept me going long these 4 years. So, thanks so much, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.